clanking chains, the drip drip of water, little noises of rats scurrying by, a tour guide cracking a bad dad joke. These are the sounds of the Seattle Underground, the city underneath a city. Seattle, Washington is located on the coast of the Pacific and only a few hours drive from nice, lovely Canada where we live. Directly under Seattle is the Seattle Underground. These underground tunnels were once home to stores and shops until it was all left abandoned by a series of unfortunate events plaguing the fledgling city. You don't get to be centuries old without collecting a few ghosts along the way, so today we are going to be talking about the Seattle Underground. Welcome back to the Lady Dicks podcast. That was super loud. My name is Tay. I am your host. I'm here with my co-host, Andrea. And today we are headed to Seattle, Washington, to learn about the Seattle Underground, the city that lurks underneath the streets. Today's episode was written by Juliana Foster, who I believe is hanging out in New York, presently speaking. I think that's where she lives. And she did also a killer job in this episode, so we're super stoked about it.
Yay.
Yay.
Hey guys, Andrea here. We're glad you didn't ghost us. Per usual, before we get to our story today, we have to go into some housekeeping matters. This podcast is 100% made for adults, so we'd highly recommend that you forego listening with the kids around. We talk about some pretty gruesome topics, and our language isn't always the best. We also mix paranormal and crime stories with a little bit of humor, which isn't everyone's taste. So if you're not a fan, we are not the podcast for you.
The Lady Dicks is an independent podcast. We work really hard to put out quality content, but it does take a lot of time and a little bit of cash. So if you want to support us, there are a few ways you can do it. You can head to theladydicks.com/support and use our links to shop. You can purchase our newly released walking audio tour on, we keep calling it newly released. I got to delete that from the script. I guess it's not that old. Walking tour of Hollywood Boulevard in Los Angeles. So if you're in and around the Los Angeles area and you're looking for something to do and you want to do it solo and safe, you can take that tour. We partnered with Tripvia Tours for that one, and we're pretty stoked about it, and we're hearing people like it, so that's great. And you can join us on Patreon, where you can get more stellar dictecting. Yay!
Yay! The history of Seattle is a rough one, but the history of Seattle's underground is even rougher. Washington was originally the home of the Coast Salish, specifically the Suquamish and Duwamish tribes. The name Seattle actually comes from the Duwamish indigenous leader Sealth or South. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But anyway, like most of the land in America, the land was taken by white settlers, and eventually the town became home to a thriving lumber mill in 1853. Seattle was primarily built around Pioneer Square, the same historic square you can visit today. Because the town was so far removed from the rest of America, Seattle had rules of its own. Seattle was hopelessly lawless. The town was home to duels, hangings, and shootouts. It was a free society with little to no law enforcement, instead opting for the mob mentality when dealing with justice. They also allegedly saw the best brothels around. Victorian ideals were a thing of the East, and the settlers of Seattle took full advantage of it. This hedonistic society only increased when the railroad came to town in the early 1870s. So pack your bags and grab your horse and pistol, because we're taking a wild ride through Seattle's history.
Okay, so with the railroad brought news from the East, along with the modernities, I can never pronounce that damn word. Anyway, populating the cities. Yay, so modern stuff was coming to Seattle. And one modern luxury in particular brought great trouble to Seattle. The toilet. When toilets were installed in the White House, they became a necessity throughout the country. I feel like they probably should have been a necessity, but I guess it has to be invented first. This caused problems with old, non-existent plumbing systems. Oh my God, there's so many disgusting toilet stories around the world. This is one of them. And it was no different with Seattle. Because the city was built so close to the sea and on unstable tidelands, the settlers would have to time their bathroom breaks perfectly. Ugh. Due to the sea levels and these muddy areas, the contents of the toilet could and would force its way back up the pipes and flood your entire water closet, aka your bathroom. Some even said that the force of the explosion could actually blow off your toilet. It was fucking disgusting.
I've actually been to Seattle.
Oh, sorry. Blow
regardless,
you off the toilet.
Regardless, it's gross.
My point is, it's disgusting. I took the underground tour, and I actually learned all of this when I was there. I think we went for like around my 23rd birthday or whatever, and it was so gross. To evade this, the settlers would place their water closets on the top floor of their houses, and that's said to be the beginning of the Seattle's building structure. So they would have like their house on top and their like store or whatever on bottom. These tidal regurgitations also caused the city to smell, and we mean like really, really, really smelled. The city smelled not only of waste, but also must and mold, obviously, based on the fact that it was just so wet in the area. These advances were only further set back by one of the area's greatest disasters, the Great Seattle Fire.
On June 6th, 1889, funny, it's June 6th today. Not when this is being released.
Oh, yeah, it is.
But it's
That's
June
so weird.
6th, the day that we're recording.
We're recording.
A carpenter's apprentice was heating glue over a fire, an everyday occurrence back then. Leaving it alone for a few minutes too long, the glue boiled over and spread across the floor, taking the fire with it. While this normally would be nothing to worry about, rumor has it that the fire chief was out of town that day. So unfortunate.
Shit. shit.
So it was left to the volunteer firefighters to put out the blaze. Unfortunately, none of the firemen coordinated their hoses, and the water pressure was less than ideal to put out a blaze that size. The next victim on the fire's list was Dietz and Mayer's liquor store. Shit again.
No.
From there, it quickly spread to the neighboring saloons, both of which were filled to the brim with alcohol. Shocking. The heat caused an explosion, and by that time, all was lost. Once the fire hit that alcohol, there was nothing that could be done until the fire burned itself out at around 3 a.m. That's...
It sounds like such a bad day.
Yeah, and the worst part is they couldn't even drink their sorrows afterwards.
All the liquor had burned. No!
I know, that does sound like a really bad nightmare. Let's also not forget that everything was made out of wood at that time. Alcohol, wood, and fire, yeah, it wasn't a great combination. The fire destroyed about 30 blocks of Seattle surrounding Pioneer Square, leaving only a few buildings untouched. Luckily, it's reported that no one was killed in the fire. The only things that were said to, that were said, the only things killed, sorry, were said to be thousands of rats that lived in the streets. It sounds like they had a little bit of a problem anyway.
They had a rat problem,
so,
yeah, for sure.
You know, I realize that rats, I think, serve a purpose.
I'm sure they do, to be food to someone else, but, like, get
and
lost.
And to get rid of, like, other things. But, yeah, like, the thousands of rats, that's a little bit of an infestation.
I think it's kind of interesting. Okay, so... This is a total side note, but rats are illegal in Alberta.
I know. We have rat police here.
Yeah, we have like rat police. And so we live on the border, and you're supposed to, if you see a rat, you have to kill it. Like, that's just the rule.
And call the rat police.
I think people find that really weird to find out that they just... Honestly, I'm sure Alberta does have some sort of rats. It's not like...
It does, but you know. I think because we're under a certain number, we are considered rat-free.
Yeah.
I only learned this, though, honestly, like about like less than 2 years ago, and I was so shocked.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's so funny. No, I've known this my entire life because my grandparents live on a border town. Like, Empress, where I currently am, is halfway... between Alberta and Saskatchewan. And by halfway, I mean like the town is split in half between Alberta and Saskatchewan. And so my cousin, who like really likes like rodents and gross shit, because he's gross, wants to like raise a rat farm, but he can't do it in the Alberta side of the town. But if he wanted to, like legally, he can go to Saskatchewan, which is still in town, and like raise rats. Four snakes is the purpose of this rat colony that he's not going to do, but just we got into a conversation about it not that
also
long ago.
Also, something like I don't want to have any part of, like snakes, rats.
Oh, no.
No, in fact,
I'm out.
I would rather have a domesticated rat because they're actually like quite nice. I know people who've had pet rats, than a snake any day. But, well, snake is just a no-go. Like, that's my worst nightmare.
They actually have a snake. They don't have it here. They have a snake and they have a turtle or a tortoise. And – but I – when I went to their house before they moved out here, they've moved again, so they don't live here right now. But I was at their house and I was, like, going to the bathroom and you have to walk by the snake. And, like, most of the time he's, like, sleeping and you can't really see him. Like, he's hiding in his thing and I'm cool with that. But one time he was like up and out and about and like trying to like sneak out of the cage. And I was like, hell no. Hell no. Hell no. So gross. Hate snakes.
Me too.
There's also like a huge population around here of diamondback rattlers.
Oh, that's super duper. I am never coming to visit you where you are.
I've, for the record, I've literally been visiting here my entire life. And I lived here all summer and I didn't see one rattlesnake. That said, my grandma saw one like last week. And rattlesnakes, diamondback rattlesnakes, are endangered species, so we cannot kill them if we see them.
Super. I mean, so, if I saw a rattlesnake, I wouldn't be sticking around to pick a fight with it.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't be like trying to kill them. You'd be like,
I think
away.
I would run generally faster speaking, than I have ever run in my entire life.
Rattlesnakes are the ones around here are said to be, I mean, they're poisonous because they're rattlesnakes, but they're less poisonous than ones that you would find in like Mexico. And I can't remember why that is. My grandpa told me it we're lacking in something that they require to produce like the right amount of poison to like kill someone so they can like severely hurt you. And like you have to be treated if you like go to the hospital and get treated for an infection, but it's basically B12. Anyway, that's my fun story about rattlesnakes and rats in Alberta. We aren't supposed to have them.
Fun.
Theoretically.
Well, the rattlesnakes, I think they just live there.
Rattlesnakes are supposed to be here, but the rats
and you can't touch them.
Yeah.
Ah, well, on that note,
yay.
The losses from the Great Seattle Fire were estimated to total around $8 million at the time, which would be $232 million in 2021.
So lots of money.
Yes.
Okay.
That's actually not.
I was just going to say that's like slightly less. That's a lot less than you would think it would be to destroy most of the
30
city.
30 blocks? Like. They just built that god-awful new parkade structure has been completed in Calgary. Yeah, and that was very, like...
Oh, look. Here's my cousin. Oh, buildings yay. Are very different today than they were, like, obviously back then. Yeah. So, like, the construction is different and obviously it is less expensive. Or was less expensive to build. It's expensive today. Anyway. So the town folk of Seattle did learn from this disaster and enacted two requirements for the town's rebuild. First, all of the buildings could only be made of brick or stone and the streets would be raised one story. This led to the town being rebuilt on top of the old one, and that's how the tunnels were created, but it was not an easy feat. The city ran out of money shortly after the fire, not knowing where the money would come from to build the new streets and sidewalks. They just, like, kept going forward with the project, until they hit a budget wall. This resulted in retaining walls being built for new sidewalks, but being left incomplete. So for a year or so, the town folk would have to go up and down ladders to get between levels, and there were holes cut in the sidewalk allowing this, and it caused more than a few drunken deaths. Okay, so Seattle was left in a precarious position. They wanted to capitalize on the economic boom of the railroads and gold rush, but needed to rebuild the town in order for that to happen. But they finally managed to get the money from an unlikely source, brothels. Brothels were obviously super popular in Seattle, like they are pretty much everywhere else, except for that Seattle was like kind of cool with them. They did so well in business that one in particular allowed the city to tax her girls. They called it an entertainment tax. And this gave the city so much wealth that the rebuilding the town sped up considerably. So great. I'm not opposed to this, by the way. So we did a thing.
We definitely did a thing.
We made an audio ghost walking tour with our favorite audio tour app, Tripvia Tours.
Tripvia makes these really cool self-guided audio tours that you can listen to while you walk or drive, depending on the tour. So it's like you're on a group guided tour, like you'd take on vacation, but you're by yourself.
Kind of like a vacation for your mind.
Definitely a vacation for your mind. Our first tour was just released, and we're taking you on a historical, ghost-filled walking tour down Hollywood Boulevard.
So if you're in Los Angeles and you're itching to hang out with your favorite hashtag dick squad, download the app, get the tour, and head down to Hollywood Boulevard, and we can all go for a little stroll through history.
Here's how you get your own copy of the tour.
Head to the Apple or Google Play App Store and type in Tripvia. That's T-R-I-P-V-I-A, in case you can't spell, and download the app.
When it's downloaded, you can hop into the app and purchase the tour. Every tour purchased helps make it so that we can bring you more awesome content and future ghost tours.
Once you finish the tour, make sure to jump on your favorite social media app and let us know how much fun it is. And don't forget to tag at Tripvia Tours on Facebook and Twitter, or at Tripvia _tours on Instagram, so they know you loved it too.
Where do you think we should go next?
I've got a few ideas.
Prostitution for the win. I am not opposed to it either, but, you know, like, I'm quite surprised that that is...
Well, you do what you need to do, you know.
The reconstruction of the city. You do what you need to do. And I mean, like, obviously they needed to tax prostitution at the time.
Anyway, I've totally lost my train of thought. While people on the top side of the buildings went around about their business, some shops still operated underneath the town. This was mostly store owners who owned the buildings they were in. But slowly the store owners would realize they needed to kind of shut down below the main levels. That they'd be shut in below in the main on the main level of their shop, and, you know, obviously wouldn't get visitors and stuff. So they migrated their way up a level if they were able to. The Seattle Underground stayed in operation until 1907, when fears of the bubonic plague carried by the rampant rat problem threatened the livelihood of the city. While the Seattle Underground was officially condemned in 1907, the storefronts were quickly filled with opium dens, speakeasies, and gambling establishments. So they definitely didn't close. The seedy underworld became exactly that and lasted until the 1940s, which is when most of the tunnels were sealed up and completely abandoned. Wasn't it until the 1950s when the Underground's journalist in shining armor saved the abandoned area from demolition? Bill Spadell, now known for his famous historic tours of the Underground, saw the past and potential future of the tourist attraction. He arranged to pay rent to the store owners and started hosting tours in 1965, and you can still go on them today.
The Underground is considerably spooky, with dark tunnels filled with old storefronts and perhaps ghosts. Visitors often report feeling a presence, hearing odd noises, and even feeling cold spots. But there are two notable ghosts to talk about. The bank teller cage is reportedly one of the most haunted areas of the tunnels. This cage part of the Scandinavian American Bank was once open 24/7 and catered to the Klondike gold miners. It's said that during a robbery, Edward, the bank teller at the time, was shot and killed, and now he operates his teller cage from the afterlife. He's said to wear a handlebar mustache and a white shirt with suspenders. He, of course, pulls it all together with his classy big black top hat. That sounds like a lot for a bank teller.
Yay. Well, he was like a super fashionable bank teller. Okay. He was great.
Yes.
I love it.
He's very vocal in his area. There are numerous EVPs recorded in this area. Investigators report that when he's asked his name, he'll respond with Edward. There's also reportedly a woman who hangs around the vault with Edward. It's said that she was shot behind the vault, although there is very little evidence behind this. Maybe it's a little afterlife love affair. Who knows?
Who knows? Another specific ghost is a man by the name of George Payne. George's tale is a little more depressing. Not that being shot while you're manning a bank isn't depressing, because that's quite sad.
It really is.
Yeah, he didn't exactly live like a great end of his life. In 1882, he was locked away for an unknown reason. I'm sure there was probably some reason behind it, but it was an unknown reason to us. We have no record, and he says he was innocent. While in jail, a mad mob stormed the jail and hung two robbers out of anger. Unfortunately, that wasn't enough, and the mob pulled George from his cell and hanged him, like proper English, as well in Seattle Park. Despite proclaiming his innocence, he was still hanged, which resulted in him getting the name the Innocent Man. Said that he can be seen hanging literally in around the tree in the center of the park. There have been EVPs with the man's voice saying, quote, "I'm innocent. You killed an innocent man." The other place you'll want to pay attention to is the former Oriental Hotel. This was a place where the street seamstresses, read prostitutes, would work. There's said to be a woman's shadow walking about, and loud unexplained noises kind of coming from the area.
There are a number of tours of the Seattle Underground you can take today. We recommend sticking with the original Bill Spadell's Underground tours, which started it all. While Spadell himself died in 1988, his tours are still conducted on Fridays and Saturdays, September through May, and daily June through August. These tours are done at night, which makes the experience even spookier. You'll need to show up 15 minutes early for paranormal equipment training. That is, if you can get them to answer. While they have an overall rating of 4.5 on TripAdvisor, there were plenty of complaints that they aren't great about answering phone calls and occasionally don't open even if tours are booked.
I will say that I think a lot of these reviews came from like recent pandemic times, and I would just like urge people to give people like a little bit of credit for like, you know, if they're taking a little bit longer to answer or something happens, like, you know, people are in a weird place right now, especially businesses. If it was like at the beginning of the pandemic and businesses are trying to like figure out how to work, you know.
I also feel like you probably at this point in time shouldn't be booking tours without speaking to an actual human being to confirm it.
That's so true.
So talk to a person. You know, there could have been some overlap. Anyway, Becky P warns you do not book this tour, she says. I purchased tickets for a tour last week for a friend and I, whom was visiting from out of town. There was no announcement on the website that indicated the tours had been suspended. We showed up along with two other folks. We waited and no one showed up. After a while, we called the number on the tickets and there was no answer. Not even an answering machine indicating any information about the tours being canceled. We waited some more, unsure what to do. And one of the folks who was also there for the tour, suggested to check the Facebook page, where we saw a post that stated the tours have been suspended until further notice and to call back when they reopen to get a refund. This is not a way to run a business and very bad customer service. If the tours are suspended due to COVID, there should be a clear announcement on the website, and customers should not be allowed to purchase tickets online. My credit card was charged. I guess the tour company's plan is to take people's money for now, then if they reopen, give them a refund. But the customer is expected to call themselves to resolve this. Nope, bad business. I'm very disappointed. Do not this tour, it says.
We assume she means book, but who knows?
We do. But, you know, it sounds like it was written in a fit of juvenile rage, as are most of these bad reviews. Anyway.
That's why we appreciate them so much. Okay, another reviewer, Kathy E., wasn't in love with the scenery. They said, hated tour, dirty, extremely musty odors. Could have seen a short video to explain Seattle's history. Charges too much. Very disappointed. Watching out for rats is not my idea of a vacation experience. But we're not
going into the sewer.
So I was going to say, sure what she was expecting for an underground ghost tour. But apparently not that. If you want a broader sense of Seattle, of hauntings in Seattle, Spooked in Seattle has ghost tours throughout the city, not just the underground. They've paired up with the Advanced Ghost Hunters of Seattle Tacoma and boast that they'll give you actual haunted tours with actual evidence, though Amy G didn't love it. They said, we try to do a historic ghost tour in the large cities we visit. There's an A missing there from them. That's why I'm confused. Have been to excellent ones in Wilmington, North Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, San Diego, California, and Albuquerque, which is in New Mexico. She didn't include it, but I am. But this was not one of them. Hubby summed it up. Painful to endure. We did the haunted pub tour. We're taken underground with rats and also down several sets of stairs at various establishments. So this is not for those with mobility issues. That's a fair statement. She talked loudly, but it was hard to understand when walking. It was also R-rated tour for potty mouth. This tour must be fun for some, but just was not for us. In hindsight, we would not have done this one. Okay, well, I don't know what to say, man. If you ever do visit the Emerald City, be sure to take in the sights and sounds, but don't forget the city underneath it. So that's it for today. Another short one. Look, we're doing so good on timing these days. If you want to hang out with us when we're not on a podcast, like when we're not recording a podcast, you can do so at the Lady Dicks on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can go to ladydicks.com. You can find out a bunch of stuff about us. You can read our articles. You can find all the information for the show notes. And I don't know where else was I going with that. What else do I normally say? You can hang out with us on Patreon. That's the thing I sometimes say.
Yep. Yes.
I'm just totally losing my train of thought here. Apparently I'm tired today. So that's it for us for this week. We will be back next week with another episode.
And in the meantime, try not to ghost anyone.
Ba-bum, 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 ba-bum. All right.